When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your door project right now at Menards. Update your home with beautiful Mastercraft doors. Mastercraft has been building high-quality doors for over 50 years. Design your door your way with our free step-by-step design program. Or choose from our great in-stock selection. Save big on your new door at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League Podcast, a show hosted by LaZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wamit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening.
Hello, welcome back to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League Podcast. I'm your host, LaZero, and I'm joined, as always, by LaWabs.
Oh my god, I'm French now. I don't know if you like this.
LulWabs, that's what I meant. We are here. Let's start by thanking patrons right off the bat. You know,
Absolutely.
I think that's a good idea. Do you think that's a good idea? I don't know if it's like a good idea. Okay, so if that's the case, I'm going to thank our patrons. Zodiac 22. Too much space. Chaos Maker. Space Bear, Frank, awesomeness, Digital, Tops, and Elk Slug. Thank you very much for your continued support. Where you can check out. Mostly at this point, just references to books I'm writing and my new adventure in that.
I don't think I've been or heard something that close to the start of Lion King in a very long time.
Have you seen the new Mufasa trailer? I'm actually down to watch it. They're doing a prequel to the Lion King, like live action type thing.
Oh god, are they really? Do you need to have watched the Lion King live action to see that?
No.
Good.
Also, you never need to have watched The Lion King live action for any reason, really.
Yeah, you're right.
Just go watch the original part. Anyway, I don't know if I was going to start off with so much steam, but here we go. Speaking of steam, one of my predictions got second.
Yep.
Let's go.
Okay, we had such good steam on this. We popped off so hard with our predictions, and I'm very proud of us. I'm not going to lie. I think we did an incredible job.
I think this is probably the best like pre-show we've done to something. And like, I'm actually, it's just great. It's just great. Okay. Anyway, we should, you know what? We're going to jump right into it, right? Like, why would we wait around? This is the thing that everyone wants to hear about. Major 2, International LAN, London. I do not know where to start, to be honest.
Let's start from right from the start. Start from the beginning.
Yeah. Where all good stories start from the beginning. am I just gonna make this my personality now?
What do you mean now?
Like written 13 books and now, sorry, 13 pages. Let's be very clear. 13 pages and now I just—it's no longer puns. It's now like a literary, like I'll like reference random literal works now. You know what else writers like us, like myself, talk about? Is they don't know how to talk, right? Like that's also a
comedy. Yeah, that's why you're right.
That's why I write. So yes. I'm just changing
the podcast that's gone on for how many episodes is this?
We are almost in the 260s, so yep, there you go. Okay, from the beginning. In the beginning there was
There was
Oxygen, which That is my other prediction, right?
That was your other prediction.
Okay, so I'll start with Oxygen, because they like almost made it out, but they lost to Furia 3-2 in that Swiss stage.
Yep.
Which sucks. But
that was a very worrying match for me, because that was my number one prediction going up.
I like how our predictions came down in the Swiss bracket, like to the very end there.
I know. Like it was a good storyline. I was very stressed the entire way through. It was a good storyline specifically for me and nobody else. This is a great storyline.
You know what? But that's it. We create storylines. That's what we do. We write the stories. Oh, my goodness. Game of Thrones reference. Okay. I'm too good. So I will say, speaking of stories, Furia and the Swiss beat the teams they should have beat and lost to the teams you'd expect them to lose to. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, outside potentially of Space Station. That's the one I'm going to call out there. Because Space Station did look incredibly good. They were playing very, very well.
Above what would have been predicted probably for them, right?
And that's the thing. That's actually the thing with Space Station. Because
you never know.
You could say that. But you kind of do never know. Like, Space Station came in as... I don't remember what their specific ranking was. I think they were third in NA. But they came in third in NA as the team that had finally solidified themselves as the third in NA, like as one of those three that I think had beaten and only lost to G2 and Gen.G, right? They were genuinely like in there up at the top, at the very least competing with Gen.G. And if you look at it, hey, look, that's exactly what they did. They beat the ones that you would expect them to and lost to the ones that you would also expect them to. But I don't know. It was either... I'm just looking at this bracket again, and Space Station either chalks up to a lucky bracket for those that are doubters, or they beat Furia and are like proof of their own, like proof of a justification for them to be there through that.
Well, okay, so let's... to five. I'll say this much. Like, apart from Space Station's like four matches, a lot of the other teams... Like, if I look at it on paper, are like the results are what I'd expect. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, the teams that like this top eight, bottom eight, like, is what I expect. And then if I start looking, I'm looking at like the Swiss bracket here, I'm looking at some of the losses, some of the wins. And I'm like, oh, okay, these are the teams I expect them to win, not win, right? Mm-hmm. When I look at the Space Stations, it's kind of like, yeah, they beat three teams, but they beat three teams maybe other than Furia, right, that I'd expect them to beat pretty easily. They didn't have to play a G2. They didn't have to play like even a BDS or a Gen.G, right? Like, so and the team that they did play
Europe.
And the team that they did play, like, the better team was the team that, like, Team Falcons is the team that beat them, right? So they actually, I think it would be very safe to say they had an easy Swiss. Like, I think that's very, like, honestly,
right? The only argument there is Falcons, Furia, and Falcons they lost to and brought them to five. So well done there. And then Furia, I'm not actually sure what happened. Because that was a 3-1 and it probably should have been a lot harder. But, like, well done. Well done to Space Station. Go. They really solidified themselves in this this major. They played extremely well.
Really played the extremely well. Yeah, and I think like, we'll talk about kind of as we get to playoffs later, but I think... Like, the two kind of, there are quote-unquote, like, dark horse teams, right? Furia and Oxygen. Mm-hmm. And they're on the cusp, right, of making it through. This, honestly, like, this teams that went through were the top eight teams that made sense to go through. And that's, like, there were no real big upsets. Like, things where I'm like, this is out of order, out of place.
Order.
So,
order is arguable. I will say that the order of these teams is definitely arguable, and some of the individual matchups are things that I wouldn't have expected.
Like, no. I don't disagree with that. I think more just like top eight and then nine.
The
to
top
16.
Eight, bottom eight, though, makes perfect sense.
Makes you're like only... in my brain, oh, Rocket League does have some continuity in it. You know,
yeah,
that's like, that's all I'm trying to say.
The only things that could have potentially gone different, in my mind, are pun not intended, with Twisted Minds and Team Secret. Those two were the ones that I didn't know enough coming into this to say definitively or non-definitively whether or not they would be like in the 7-8, like the 6-7-8 spot, or in the 9, 10, 11, 12.
Mm-hmm.
But Twisted Minds on 12 is surprising.
Twisted Minds? But like, the only team they did beat was Team Mobula, right? Like,
well, yeah. that's what I mean.
Like here's the thing. Like, Twisted Minds could have beaten Oxygen, right, for instance. Like, that wouldn't have been overly surprising, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the OG match was really close, too. So, like, yeah. You know, Zygmunt should have zagged, and, like, we'd be somewhere else a little bit. But yeah, a lot of close things, but then the statistics panned out is kind of mm-hmm. how my brain's seeing this.
Yep.
Team Vitality kind of coming in, beating JNG, beating Furia. If you win your first three rounds, sometimes you get a really good bracket. like you know what I mean? Yeah. You might have, like, one hard match, but, like, sometimes if you're just, like, a slightly better team, you might be able to run right into the playoffs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But then you look at Falcons' run. They faced up against Space Station, BDS, and G2 in that order.
And then beat all of them.
But it's like some teams, you look at their you know, 3-0 in Swiss, and you're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Like, well done in the final matchup. Falcons, like, coming into this, any of those could have gone anyway, and you would probably put Falcons on the bottom end. Like, most people would probably predict them to lose potentially all three.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, if they lost it, though, they wouldn't have that team to play against, right? Yeah, any of these three games they could have lost, and they won, especially the 3-2s and 3-2s. Right. I'll say this as well. Like, Team BDS, for instance, like, only really beat teams from the lower half, right? Which might have perhaps been a sign of things to come.
Maybe. From this list. But that's the thing about these, like, this is a major. Everything is going to have a but. Like, everything is going to have a...
Okay.
Good point.
No, would you tell me? Yeah, go for it.
The teams that they lost to are Falcons, who was performing incredibly well the entire weekend. But like, and they brought them to five, which I can't say it's a bad thing. So, like, well done there. And then the other team that they lost to was Gentlemates on LAN. Gentlemates on LAN, I'm gonna say, it is the best EU team that the EU has ever seen.
That's fair. That's a fact. Specifically on LAN,
Gentlemates is the best EU team. That's a fact, and I don't think many people are gonna. Some people might raise their eyes at that a little bit, but if you debate it, then I got the receipts to show that up. Where that, like, you know, yes, they only beat OG, Mobula, and Secret, mm-hmm. but they brought Falcons to five, and they took a game off Gentlemates, which probably should have been more, but whatever. Sometimes you just don't perform perfectly on the game.
Yeah, and like that, I think it furthers my thing of things making sense, right? Like,
yeah.
when the tougher teams, like Gen G, for instance, here, right? Vitality 2-3, G2 3, like 2-3, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Gen G is really very much in that upper mix there as well. If a game went differently, they might have just went through a lot faster. But
yeah, like, literally one game might have made it a very different weekend overall. I never really even looked at that, because you're right. Let me look down a little bit and see what actually happened there. Let's both look down and see what happened there.
Happened for which one? The G2?
For Gen G. Because you're very right about a single game in both of them. They, like, the two games they lost against Vitality and G2, which, brutal, by the way, like, brutal that they had to face both of them, were 2-3. Like, they did bring them to five in both of them.
Like, this is definitely a power rankings thing where, like, if I saw a team beat the teams they're expected to beat and then lose 3-2s, you know, to the other top teams, I'd be like, okay, there's definitely, like it's... Although we've known Gen G over the course of, like, the last even two seasons, that they're kind of... Like, they're actually a powerhouse, if only it all kind of came together, right?
Yeah, but... Like, even more so, the fact that the round four, so the one against G2, was an overtime, and that the Vitality one was lost in game five, also 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally a single goal swing makes the difference between them coming in facing Falcons and them facing literally anybody else.
That's crazy.
And that might genuinely have decided their placement. did not think about that.
There you go. I mean, but it's the things that obviously, like, we can see in hindsight, but like, to them playing, like, it can end up being a different team. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, absolutely.
Point okay. system and the, yeah.
For sure. But just like looking at the way that things panned out is what I'm, what I'm saying here.
Yeah, that's fair. Before, because I think we can like start going into the quarterfinals, and if you have any teams that have like specific like play styles and stuff or players you want to talk about, this will definitely be the chance to do that. But before we do that, before we go into the quarterfinals with the top eight, is there anything from the bottom eight teams, any storylines that we might have missed that you want to talk about?
So big things to talk about was, one, the fact that like Falcons play style. Falcons coming in as... you know, Falcons, we don't really know where they are, but then just kind of destroying with the way that they were playing and outdoing every single one of the other teams. With the play style that we hadn't seen before, that hadn't performed at majors, at anything else, like even in the general, like the normal series that we were watching, that type of thing did not exist. That was not... not a play style that we would ever see or ever.
Do you have expect. Like a summary, I guess, or like a approximation of what exactly they're doing?
They,
I know it's hard to like in retrospect when you've watched.
Yeah,
the
games, I'm trying to think about it because they were
What's the different thing? What's like the one thing that you can point out?
They're just better. Like, it was just 50s, but they were kind of faster as a thing, or okay. like. In a weird way, because like the other thing that I was going to say is that Furia, and this shows up more in the bracket.
We should just get into the bracket. That's fine. Let's keep going though. Yeah.
No. But Furia, even in the,
in the Swiss. Okay.
Was so aggressive. And if they get scored on, it's because they triple committed. And if they scored, then it's because they triple committed. And they just beat other teams by being faster and being more aggressive and kind of being reckless.
Can we talk about that for a second? Like, yeah. I feel that's a great way to play against teams that like having a sense of control. Mm-hmm. And teams like some, especially teams that are used to like a rhythm to the game. And if you play like that, it's like, yes, you're the double-edged sword and all that. It's like you're running full aggro, no armor. But what I would say is that I think it just like allows you to beat teams that are better than you, right? Because like you're putting other teams out of their comfort zone. So it's not saying that you're worse necessarily, but you, like that kind of strategy will make people be like, okay, what is this nonsense? Mm-hmm. Like, why am I able to score easily, but also why is like none of my usual defensive rotation working right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is like why Furia can beat some of these better teams, because it's nonsense, honestly. But it's nonsense that they're all individually skilled enough players to make it work.
Yeah. And like it's a very traditional like, oh, SA is a rushdown region, whatever. Like, who cares? But it's still working. It's like how many years into this game of South America is a rushdown? They're just going to ungabunga at the ball, not think, and it's still working. Like, they're just improving.
South America is so funny because, yeah, they have that. And then they have, like, I remember some world performances like a couple years back where it's just like last minute saves the whole game to
but
like.
That goes along with it. Like, that's part of what I mean by the triple committing. It's on offense and defense. It doesn't matter. They're just going for the ball and they're going to, like, either. It's either going in or it's going in one of the goals. That's what I'm going to say.
And I think that's why like the performances were so interesting from like a viewing perspective and still are to this day, is because it's the tempo of the game feels so different when you watch them play against any team, and they create that chaos, they create those last minute saves, they create those triple commits that either work or don't work. But I think it's very entertaining from our perspective, at least.
Mm-hmm. But then we compare that on the other side to Team Falcons, who I was talking about originally, and they were also playing weirdly, like a very weird style of it just being seemingly like it did seem to me, and I think I might be potentially alone in this, it seemed to me as aggressive and reckless, but it was just through the 50s that they would be prepared for the spillout. And I think that was a big thing. Like, they played heavy, heavy into 50s. And I think they were just controlling them better because the next player was always there first. And I think that's the most important thing. It was weird. It was weird. It was super mechy. It was super technical. It was like really, really insane to watch. But I kind of want to go back and see them again. And I'm excited for the Worlds for this, like, to see them and see if they're going to continue playing like that, which I'm sure they will. It was a bizarre style. It was a bizarre style that obviously North America and Europe aren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, no, it's almost a little bit, it's so based off the 50s that you don't, instead of really trying to make plays happen, like passing plays or other things, it's just like, no, we're going into this 50 and we're going to predict it better than you, is what I'm kind of gathering. Is that fair?
It was like passes through 50s, passes through like a lot of fakes, also a lot of bumps, which only came out from them, I think, from the entire tournament. Like, nobody was really bumping too heavy. But I think
that's interesting. That's actually, as I have all the players like kind of agree.
Right. I don't know where that happens. But no, there really wasn't too much physical play. And then kind of Falcons just kind of showed up. Sometimes with Gentlemates, thinking back on it a little bit. But it was really just, it wasn't common. Wasn't as common as you would expect it to be overall. Like, just knowing how Rocket League has progressed for however long.
No, that's definitely super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those things where like their region is so isolated from ours that we get these really funny occurrences at the actual major of like, I guess they're not used to like it's funny to me that the fact that it's working so well, right? Because mm-hmm. like in another world, if you're not playing against similar these kind of play styles, like that shouldn't work as well. But maybe they're just so good individually and so good with this style that, you know, NA and EU doesn't play, that it just works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think with that we can get, maybe we'll talk a little bit more of it in the grand finals, because that is probably the thing I most want to hear from you.
Okay.
Like I think one of the biggest stories of this is Team Falcons are an absolute terror, and then G2 figures them out, right? So we can talk about it a bit later. But first of all, Team Furia beat Team Vitality in the first quarters. Are you at all surprised considering how well Vitality did early, or do you think like the fact that Furia was able to go from losing to them to beat them, like, isn't that surprising?
Furia studied so well. Furia is just a bunch of nerds. That's what I'm going to say right now.
I like it.
They're just nerds. They know how to study. They know how to look over the replay that happened yesterday and then fully fix all of the things that went wrong. That's what I think actually happened.
Furia is the team that like you never want to play twice in a tournament.
I think so. I think that's going to be what it is.
I think if Furia played a team they played before in the grand final, they just have like an immediate like bonus, you know?
Yeah, they get the rematch buff. 100%.
Okay, so that's kind of what happened here. And Team Vitality, like, it's kind of weird to say, but like, I felt like they didn't play that many games before they came up to like a really good Furia, or maybe they underestimated. Who knows?
That might be true. That might be fair. I don't. I actually don't really know. Could they have underestimated? Maybe. But I think they just. I don't know if they didn't show up. Because I think they tried to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the just hyper-aggressive play of Furia, like that I was talking about, just shut them down. Like, they weren't allowed to play their game. And I think what actually might have happened, and this goes along with them being nerds, is that they gave too much respect to Vitality in the first match.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm assuming. I didn't actually get the chance to watch that one. But I'm assuming that they gave them way too much respect. We're like, this is Vitality. This is, you know, this is an Alpha Verdose. And like, this is Vitality. and so we have to, you know, kind of chill, can't really get too much in our head. It's fine, whatever, it's fine. And then they lose. And then they're like, well, that didn't work. So now we have to just play our game and force them to not play theirs, which is going to be the best way to beat, you know, teams that are insanely good. That's always the best way. You make them play your game and not theirs.
And then Freer was able to do that this
down theirs.
Yeah, they were able to do it the second time around as opposed to
and
the
they
first.
Were. Yeah.
How about Space Station? Any surprise, or was G2 just too good?
G2 is just too good. Like,
yeah.
Space Station loses to two teams and it's Gen G and G2. This is it.
They're like on the cusp. Much. Yeah, they're on the cusp of what would you call it? Greatness? I don't know.
Yeah, no, genuinely. Yeah, like I could say that they might be. They didn't play, so I don't want to say it. But they are almost arguable for like a top two position. I think that NA right now is G2, and then Gen G and Space Station, and then the rest. I don't think that's too crazy of a statement.
Right? No, I don't think it is. And then yeah, Falcons like dismiss Gen G pretty easily here in the quarters. Is yep. that any surprise there or not really?
Seeing,
it seems easier than like I thought Gen G would, you know, kind yeah. of have with that.
Only based on looking at like their prior thing with G2 would I say that this makes sense. But going into it, I would not have said this makes sense. I think Falcons probably beats Gen G here. Like when, going into this, I would have been thinking that Falcons probably beats them, but it's going to be close. It's probably going to go to seven. Like this will be a tough one, and it'll be a setup for the rest, and we'll see how it goes. And then Falcons just kind of did what they do the entire thing and didn't let them play the game. Like they just had full control. They're just better. They're just stronger. They're faster. They're everywhere on the field. They have
they've unlocked boosts. Hacks. No,
yeah,
no,
they just
no.
hack. That's it.
And okay, and then that's an interesting thing because like it seems from all these contenders, like if Gentle Mates were on the other side of the bracket, like I have a sneaky suspicion they'd be in the grand finals. Is that fair to say or no?
Yep.
And then like they
if,
just
yep. Just if we go to that final one in playoffs with Gentle Mates versus BDS, there was nothing. That was brutal. That was just there's nothing to say. What was it? Was it 19 goals? 18. It was 18-3 in the
That's
best
ridiculous.
Of four or
that
in a
absolutely...
four game series. 18-3
Like what happened? Like it just like I think Gentle Mates are actually like
Lambo.
Severe. Like it's actually very unfortunate because I think they could have easily even won the finals. Honestly. If they had, well, who knows? The Team Falcons Gentle Mates game was close either way.
So that's the thing. Like that's all I have to say for that one. The Gentle Mates BDS going into the Gentle Mates Falcons. Reddles was on in the pre-show the day of. They had him on as a part of the cast and was like he was interviewing and talking about the general picks of who's the best player, who is the MVPs, blah blah blah, all these things. And then at the end of it they say, okay, what's your prediction for the thing, who wins the day, who wins the entire tournament? And Reddles goes, we're watching the grand finals right now, whoever wins this wins. Like don't worry about that. Team Falcons versus Gentle Mates was the grand finals in a very weird way. Everybody knew that this was going to be like the most competitive one. This was going to be the highest level Rocket League that we're seeing. This is going to be the crazy one, right? This is what we're all going for. This is the game. This is the game to watch. This is going to be it. And it kind of was until it wasn't, but it kind of was.
Like it definitely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Was like if there's one probably matchup that you should go and watch, it's the Team Falcons Gentle Mates back and forth, right?
Yeah,
in the semifinals, like more than the finals. I would not recommend the finals, having watched a couple of games from it live. And at some point I was like, I think I'm good. Like, it was not the same Team Falcons, but we'll get to that later. Uh-huh. Team Falcons, General Mates. Yeah. I think maybe, you know, I think General Mates is definitely a team I also associate with just kind of playing fast and going crazy. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's the land buff as well. But maybe I think that's really why they gave Falcons probably the hardest run they'd had in the tournament yet at that point.
Yeah. I think, was this the one that came down to like two kickoff goals?
You might have.
I think this one came down to two kickoff goals, and I was so mad watching this. I was so mad watching this because going into day three, into the Sunday, the final day, mm-hmm. I'm looking at this bracket and I'm seeing Furia versus G2, Falcons versus Gentlemates. What were the three of the four teams that we predicted? I predicted Furia to actually win. I predicted Gen G to win in my heart. They sure did. And you predicted Falcons to win. That was it. Nobody cares about G2. G2 doesn't matter. They're not on the map. Then what we see going into day three is Furia is on one side, and then Falcons and Gentlemates is on the other side. We didn't mention it, but this was a four region semis, which I don't know if it's ever happened. And that's got to be shouted out because that was awesome. Four regions representing the semis, even though we had three EU teams in the quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about this is that Fury is supposed to be G2 based on how they've been playing. G2 is a great team. It'll be fun to watch. There's kind of a 50-50. It's going to be whatever. But I'm hoping here, as the person who's picked Furia, that Furia beats G2. And then, if Furia wins, looking at the finals, there's either me versus me or me versus you. This is what I'm looking at going into this finals. And then both of my teams lose. I'm so mad.
This is the ultimate troll tournament for you, honestly.
It was so rude. I was, oh my God, I can't believe this. I'm just living through it again because now I remember it was two kickoff goals. It was like, it wasn't two kickoff goals. It was a stupid goal into a kickoff goal. And it was just like, oh my God, what am I looking at? This is a great series and I'm so mad. Oh man, why did we do this podcast? Why do I have to relive my traumas?
Listen, we're all about, you know, overcoming the hardships in life, okay? And this is just another chance to... can we relive another one of your traumas by looking at the other semis? Where did G2 come from? Is G2 finally great again? And why was Fury not able to, like, pull the same thing they did against Team Vitality against G2?
This isn't, really is G2 question. Great again? Where did they come from? Blah, blah, blah. Like, G2's always been great. G2 has always been great. They're the best team in North America. They, I think, had the best run in the major. They're mm-hmm. like they're the only threat to EU, other than, you know, Fury and Falcons. But they're the only threat to EU. When you go into like the majors or you go into anywhere else, you're like, you're looking at G2 to be the savior of NA. You don't really mm-hmm. care about Gen G because they're mostly EU anyway. Like, you only care about G2, and the reason that you care about G2 is because G2 is the best team on the field. Like, G2 is the best team in NA. That's it. We know that. That's been a fact. Nobody wants them to win. they're the spoilers. They ruined our top four or our four-way tie in NA in the previous one. They're just there. They're just better, and it's not fun for them to win because it's like the traditional storyline of the best player wins. This is
really nobody... okay, because I love this turnaround that's happened with G2. You know what I mean? Where G2 for years upon years got second place, and then they got to here, and they're like, "Yeah, we're just like a first place team now." You know,
we're just
actually
the best
major
team.
One. They got second, so like, what am I even supposed to say? Like, they should have kept their. But this is the problem, right? The script is better. Like, as a writer, okay, the script is better is for this tournament of all tournaments be the one that G2 actually wins. when there's a Team Falcons that are absolutely on fire and it's like, wow, it's not NA, it's not EU, guess what, it's MENA, best region. Okay, that's like, that was the story we're gonna get from this, and they're like, nah.
Yep. Okay, but okay, so once again, G2 being the spoiler, they take out Furia and Falcons. They take out both of the dreams of the non-North American EU regions. The expectations of both of them, because both of them had a strong, had a very solid chance of taking the thing. And then they run into G2 and it's like, well, never mind. Why is G2 just the spoiler? They're the worst team. And they're, I don't know. I don't know what to say. They're just G2.
I think there was something else that I wanted to say. What about Furia? What happened here? What actually happened here, despite the spoiler part of it? Like, what actually? What's the in-game? Okay,
I'll go into that in a second. The most important thing here, from a writer's perspective, from a storyline perspective,
because that's what we're all about. Yeah.
That's what we're here. That's literally what we're here for. Everyone wrote the script. It didn't happen, and we're mad about this. If G2 wanted to get out of second place, like, throw off the mantle of the second place team, the only place that they could have done that, okay, there's two places they could have done it. They could have done it at Worlds. That would have been fine. Still, whatever, kind of boring, to be honest. I was like, they're a spoiler team, they're the best team, whatever. The only place that they actually could have done it with this team of G2 is against Gentlemates. That's it. The ones that they lost to. That's it. That's the only team that they could have done it from a storyline perspective. They have to face their demons and beat them. But no, they can't beat their demons. They avoid EU entirely throughout the entire top eight. Did they avoid EU entirely? They avoid EU entirely throughout the entire tournament.
Man, we got to get on these scripts. You know, they got to hire us for these scripts.
They didn't face EU once. They didn't overcome their prior terrors, their prior traumas of losing to EU after making the tear. They beat everyone else. They're not the best in the world. They can't beat you.
That's actually pretty funny. Wait. And now we're all leading up to the conversation that has to happen right now. And that's the fact that oh my goodness. And that is the fact, okay, are you ready for this? That the whole discussion after this thing was NA is greater than EU.
Yep.
But NA is just able to beat other regions that are very good.
Yep. NA able to face EU once.
NA greater than every other region except NA at EU.
EU is better than NA, which is better than every other region, which is better than EU.
It's rock, paper, scissors. It's actually perfect harmony, honestly, if I think about it.
It is. We've done it.
We've made the trifecta. The triforce is in place. And wow. And I thought I was going to like come on here and like start talking about, you know, all this stuff. But I guess it's just, yeah. Okay, can we talk about then G2 Falcons? Like, what actually happened in this final? Like, why did I tune into this and it not be the thing I expected it to be?
Can you tell me about it? Because I don't remember much, to be honest. I need a reminder of what happened.
Yeah, you ever watch a team just not perform? That's probably my best. Okay, it felt like G2 was able to get a goal pretty early in every game, and Falcons, like, I don't know if they're wiped or tired or something, but they struggled to get anything going.
Yeah. Falcons had just played the grand finals match, and then they had to play another one. I don't fault them for this. They played the grand finals, the real best team in the world, Gentlemates on LAN. And then it was a super tight one. They probably should have lost. They snuck it out in the last little second by, you know, some unfortunate things going on in the game. And they're like, oh my God, I can't believe we made it here. Like, we're done. That's it. We won the tournament. And then, you know, an hour and a half later, because I think the Fury G2 one happened afterwards, they're like pulled back on the stage being like, where's my trophy? I've been yelling at you for an hour and a half to give me my trophy. I just won the tournament. Why aren't we doing this? So now they're tired after playing the grand finals match and then yelling for an hour and a half. And they have to play G2, who's on form after just beating Furia, because, you know, Furia, I don't know what happened there. And they're like, wait, I haven't warmed up. I didn't have time. What do you mean I have to go and play G2? And then G2's like, get on the computer, nerd, time to play the game. And then that's what happened. That's the real story of what happened to Falcons in the grand finals.
You know what I do like about all this? Actually, from like a story perspective, like the biggest fault of Team Falcons, thinking they'd already, you know, like their folly, you know what I mean? The hubris was what brought them down. I'm always here for a story like that.
Yeah, they flew too high. Like Icarus, the Falcons burned their wings. Oh my god. I don't remember what happened to the thing. I'm pretty sure Falcons still had like three of the all three Falcons players were MVP arguments.
Yeah, I think that's very fair.
Like, I don't know what happened. How do they...
We do know what happened. I think they were done. Like, they were emotionally done.
Yeah, they'd already won the tournament, and then they just play another one.
I don't think there was anything else, like, they felt was required. Like, but I get it. Like, this happens in tournaments, right? Like, that's the one thing that I don't feel surprised by, if that makes sense. Like, it feels like something that happens in a lot of tournaments is where, like, okay, like, this is the greatest team ever, but they're so burned out from the previous thing that they just can't play in that last game.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. I think that kind of wraps up Major 2, right? We still have the finals. Is that in September now? Is that where they're doing it?
Let me see what the date is. The date is September 10th to September 15th.
So they kind of line it up with other esports, which is fine, I guess. And I'll say as well here. Did you hear about the Johnny Boy drama?
What Johnny Boy drama?
Like the EU Rizzo said something on his podcast. I don't know. Like, this is something like as a podcaster, like I feel like it's like we're the lowest hanging fruit. About. But it was entertaining to me. There's something about NAEU stuff, but I don't.
Do you know what that thing was?
No, I don't care anymore. Do you want me to go find it? Is that what we're doing right now?
If you can find it in the next like 3 seconds before I finish this sentence and it doesn't really cause too much of a delay, then it's fine. But otherwise, I'm okay.
I don't think I'm finding it within that
specific
time frame you're giving me here.
Yeah, all right. You cut in and cut off the sentence that did give you extra time to find it, so.
Yeah, I'm not focused on that. Yeah, I'm not focused. And listen, I just want to mention it so that if someone's like, oh, well, look at this big drama that happened from the tournament. It's like, no, we talked about the actual tournament, not the drama, okay? And we did mention the fact that G2 didn't play any EU teams. So
yeah, the real drama is the fact that G2 is not better than EU.
There you go.
Surprising nobody.
Oh, it's great. I think that was great.
You would never be gentlemen.
We're good. It's great. Yeah, great recap. We got the tournament. We got the bit of drama here. Okay, I think we can kind of finish off with our week in Rocket League. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
So our week in Rocket League, C1 in threes and twos. So I'm back to C1, which is nice. There was a moment of realization after having played a bunch of diamond games where my brain went, oh, people are actually going for stuff again, you know? But then I have to also think, oh, they're also going for dumb stuff. And that's always a tricky one.
Yep.
But yeah, no. Unlike last week where we had probably some of the biggest realizations of our lives when it comes to this stuff. This week, I don't think I had any big realizations in the game itself. Have you experienced anything in the game itself in the last, well, month, I guess, or a couple weeks?
I've been playing with Elias and Bruno a fair bit.
I'm excited for this story. Okay.
Well, nothing really. It's been fun. It's been fun to play with people again because I haven't had the chance to play too much with, I kind of just don't tend not to play too much with others because like I'm a solo queue fiend, and I like to yell at my teammates because they're bad. And then when I play with other people, I'm like, wait, I'm the problem here.
You can't get the anger out.
No, it's not that. I realize my own problems because I'm like, oh wait, they're good. I'm just they're bad.
You when you're playing online, they're not real people. But when they're playing with real people, you go back inward and you're like, okay, maybe there's stuff I can improve. I get it.
So I don't like to do that too much, but every so often it's fun, and that's what I've been doing. And it's been really nice. It makes the game more fun, even though it's far worse on my mental state. No more yelling at teammates that don't exist and are just robots.
No more yelling at teammates
for going back, for never going for boost. Have you noticed that, by the way, in your week? Have you even kept that in your mind? Have you thought about it?
So I did think about this, and now I have made sure to go boost over ball every time. I feel like I really learned a lesson last time.
I'm so proud of you.
And I have let in about 5 goals by going boost over ball.
Oh, I love that. And this is why you don't do it when you're a diamond player.
Well, because there's no, like, this is the thing. The boost over ball thing is like, if you can expect your teammate to actually make the 50 that they're supposed to make, you know.
Yeah, it does rely on your teammates hitting the ball. I'm not gonna lie.
I feel like we found a profound morsel of wisdom, and it's true in the sense that, especially in the lower ranks, you can probably find times to just grab boost, like,
yeah,
like you're not getting punished as much, right? So you might as well use that.
Yeah. You find so much time to get boost. You just have to find out what is actually time to go and grab boost and when it's not. It's usually time to get boost.
you have more time than you think, but also like
so
that's
much the time to get boost.
The problem is like this runs into like that problem that, like, you know, when you ever watch those like people like playing like up the ranks, it's like the sheer amount of knowledge you need to know the timing is, you probably don't have it at diamond, so that's why you're not able. But you probably have more time than you think you do until you don't.
Yeah, but this is also why you limit test. Limit testing is actually how you get better. You're like, oh, can I go for this boost? Let me make that decision and see what happens here, and then recognize, like, let me think about this play in a very specific way and remember it. I'm going to go for the boost here, and if it goes badly, then I know that I probably can't do that again. And if it goes well, then I'm going to put that in my bank and then be like, well, let me limit test it again and again and again and do that. And that's where you get better. You're actually testing those limits and being like, oh, now I have an average of 20 more boosts in my tank at all times. Now I can actually do things because I'm not sitting at 30. I'm sitting at 50 and I can go in the air and beat my opponents. It's great. You should do that. Limit test.
I think that's, you know, that's actually often not spoken about, but is very true, right?
Yeah, like you can intentionally make a mistake.
Like, but just if you're not testing limit, like, oh, here's our beginner's corner, guys. listener, friend, if you're not testing what you can and can't do, you're always gonna be. Like there's games you want to win, but there's also like our goal essentially is always to improve a little bit as we're playing. And so if you're not testing, oh, can I actually turn and hit this ball before them? You'll never know what your actual upper level is, right? Mm-hmm. What you can and can't get away with. And if you're not testing those things, you're always going to kind of default to the mean of like doing the bare minimum. And it's like, okay, well, it's great that you're a passive thing, but like I learned in my writing,
as a writer,
you have to, you can't make your characters passive, right? They're boring. Okay, you don't want to be a boring person in game.
Yeah, you don't want to be even you. You don't
listen. You always have to have a trajectory. So it's either up or down. Okay, and so maybe you'll be down in the sense of you as a person are causing some games to lose, but that trajectory down will actually allow the eventual trajectory up to be more impressive.
Yeah. Pro tip here: turn off chat before you do this. Unless you want to, you know, engage with the trolls, but turn off chat before.
Here's the thing: okay, but you don't have to go out of your way. It's just try the thing that, like, if you see yourself kind of hesitating, just be like, "No, I'm going to try it." Actually,
yeah,
like that's all we're really saying, right?
Yeah, hesitation is death.
No, but like, yes, hesitation is death. But like, try the slightly more risky thing and you'll start seeing what you can and can't get away with.
Yeah. Yeah. You should.
I think that's great.
Great tip.
Great beginner's corner. Any other things we want to talk about, or is that really it?
I'm thinking, oh my God. Biggest thing about the major that I completely forgot about until just now. I read it like 20 minutes ago, but I remembered. The biggest thing that nobody saw coming, and I don't know if anybody talked about this to any big extent, was the ball skin. The ball had a skin. It wasn't the standard Rocket League ball. And I don't know how many people recognize how important that is, but that was a ball skin, not in some random person's stream who was using Vakiz mod to make it work. That was a ball skin on a tournament, official tournament sponsored by Rocket League.
What are you saying, Webs?
Probably means that within the next little bit, I'm not going to say things because I have no idea and I'm just speculating here, that we're probably going to get official ball skins in the game that you can buy and use.
Okay, so I understand this is really hype. However, like I've been able to choose like what soccer ball I'm using in FIFA since before 1999. Oh, yeah. So 100%. Like, let's be very clear. I mean, it is nice that it's actually a visual thing that you'll see every game, which is probably the coolest thing because it's literally every game. So personalizing and it's going to be personalized, I'm guessing, where you see your own, right? Other people don't see it because otherwise it doesn't make sense. But I think in effect, I mean, it would be really cool because it is actually an area of customization that you're unlike some of the things you do with decals that no one ever sees, right, on your actual car, this you're actually going to be able to see. So it is nice in that sense.
This is the real importance of this is that this, along with like underhood or undercarriage lights, is one of the things that people have been asking for since 2015 when the game came out. So if it does happen, that's been almost a decade of asking. 9 years, not a decade yet. Of people being like, hey, this would be a good idea and super easily monetizable. You should do this.
Listen, all we're saying is Rocket League fans are dedicated and they still know what the word commitment means, okay?
Yeah.
Through thick and thin, through hell and high water, through skins and no here skins. We are. Through skins and no skins, though the ball may be plain, I'm not going to let it go to my brain. Yeah.
Also demo explosions. I still want new demo explosions.
Put you on the team, on the dev team. Okay. I think this has been a show. This has been great. We got Rocket League. We got that. Do we have to preview? No, I guess it's September. No, we have our August episode. Yeah. Look at that. Look at the timing. It's so nice. We have our monthly episodes and like things happen around the episodes.
Yeah.
So we'll have an August episode to preview the worlds and then a September episode to then review the worlds.
Preview of the preview? Carmine Core is back. Literally.
Okay, I don't want any of this nonsense from yours truly. But what I will say is it's almost like, you know, when people are like, you know, they took 6 months of like long deliberation, like what is RLCS going to look like or whatever. You know, and Daddy Dev, okay, just came to me, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was like, "Hey, listen. Like we know you're changing the format for the like the podcast and like we just feel like it'd be better if there was like your show or kind of around the, like when we do our events." And then I'm like, "Hey, listen, I don't know if they'll accept it though. You know, like this is the thing, like this is what it's meant to be, but I don't know if our fans will accept it." Right. And then, but they said, no, like we're going to do it around your show. So, you have us to thank for Worlds being in September. Don't shoot us.
Wait,
no, I'm kidding. Obviously, no. What?
I just realized one thing that I want to say.
Go for it.
Let me see if this happened for both of them. It did. Two teams. No, one team. One team was confirmed. Like, this was the only thing that actually genuinely could have changed, or reasonably could have changed, for going into the major. Do we want to talk about it right now, or do we want to talk about it before? Before the next thing.
Are we a cliffhanger type of writer? Are we, like, do we want to finish the story? Yeah. Let people read the one book. I think
it did happen in this one.
Just go for it.
Okay. So the only real thing, because the Chiefs could have technically made a difference, but they would have had to make it all the way to the end, and nobody was really expecting that for them, was Twisted Minds. If Twisted Minds if Twisted Minds made it to that eighth or that round five position, then there was a tiebreaker between them and anything for their world's position. But
oh my goodness, you and your four-way tiebreaker propaganda.
Listen, I just want at least a two-way tiebreaker, and guess what we didn't have, because Twisted Minds couldn't make it to, what position is that, like 15th?
Another 12th? Tiebreaker.
Yeah, they couldn't make it to 9 through 11. They could only make it 12 to 14. One game. That's the only difference. I will say now, as our sign-off, good title.
And so the wheel of time keeps on turning. That'll be it for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Stick around. We are keeping on top of our Rocket League episodes and our ASAP AF episodes. Our anime episodes have not been going, so we had such a good first episode.
Never again.
We decided not to do a sequel, although we do actually have a topic of discussion, which is the movie we went to see together. So maybe we'll talk about Haikyuu at some point. But no, thank you all for listening. We'll see you in the August time, and
yes,
your homework, should you choose to accept it, is to at Johnny Boy, at Rizzo. Like, both, I need, like, in your tweet, I need both those, like, ads in there. And say, and just say, rest of the world greater than NA, greater than you. I think that's really your homework. Actually, no, I have better homework. Go read a book. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Have a good one. See ya. Peace.
Bye.
Save big money in your door project right now at Menards. Update your home with beautiful Mastercraft doors. Mastercraft has been building high-quality doors for over 50 years. Design your door your way with our free step-by-step design program. Or choose from our great in-stock selection. Save big on your new door at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save.